From the Gospel of Simon and Garfunkel. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. The words of the prophets are whispered in the sound of silence. A few years ago, I began to suspect that my wife was losing her hearing. Kind of started slowly at first, just started to notice a couple things, like we were in the same room and I said something to her. If she wasn't looking at me, she wouldn't respond, and you know, she didn't see me talking to her, so I started to get a little worried about it. You know, I mean, we're getting into being middle-aged, and you know, your physical bodies begin to wear down. I thought, poor thing. But you know, before you have that conversation about, honey, I think you might be losing your hearing. I think we need to go to the doctor, have it checked out. I thought, you know, I better be sure. I better make positive this is what's happening. So we were, after dinner one night, we were cleaning up from dinner. She was in the kitchen. I was in the dining room. She was cleaning up something in there. Her back was to me. So I entered the room very quietly. I can be quite stealthy when I want to be. I got about 6 feet behind her, just very, very quietly, without making any other noise. I just whispered. I said, Jackie, can you hear me? Nothing. I mean, she didn't respond. She didn't turn around. She gave no indication that she heard me. And my heart was just breaking. I thought, oh, poor thing. Poor thing. So I stepped a little closer. I was about 3 feet from her. And I thought, well, I'll say it a little louder. I need to know how pervasive this is. So I stepped a little closer and I said, Jackie, can you hear me? Still nothing. My heart just broken. I'm just so sad for her. So I stepped just right up behind her, just a few inches away. Just a little louder. I say, Jackie, can you hear me? At which point she spins around and says, for the third time, yes! I like that joke. It makes me smile. It doesn't make my wife smile as much. It's not as much then. We live in a noisy world. I drive over every day on the interstate. If you want to know how noisy the world can get, spend about 20 minutes on the interstate every day during rush hour traffic. There's cars and trucks and motorcycles. There's semis and construction going on all over. This morning, 3 lanes of I-35 are shut down. There's jackhammers, and there's those big machines that cut concrete, and they're making all kinds of noise and blowing up dust. And of course, there's the other drivers on the road who are honking because either you cut them off or they cut you off, or you're not going fast enough, or they're going too fast. Or in addition to all that outside noise, you know, inside my car, I'm one of those people who likes to drive with the radio on. And it's not usually the radio. I've got the Bluetooth hooked to my phone, so I'm usually listening to a podcast, or I'm listening to news, or I've got my Spotify playlist going on, you know. And if my Spotify playlist is playing music that I've selected, you can bet I'm singing along at the top of my lungs, right? I'm putting on a Celine Dion concert right there in the front seat going down Interstate 35. And it's the same at home, right? When I'm doing stuff, I was around the house yesterday doing things. I've got a little Bluetooth speaker that I bring in the room with me and I turn on, and I can play music, or I can put on some of the podcasts that I listen to. And right now, it happens to be a crew of guys putting new siding on my house, so there's banging going on, and they're moving stuff around, ladders banging against the house. And the fact of the matter is, it's a noisy, noisy world. It's so loud and so filled with this cacophony of sound that the old expression, sometimes I can't hear myself think, is rather an appropriate description of our day-to-day existence. Now, I gotta be honest, sometimes I think we might prefer that a little bit. We kind of like the noise. The noise allows us to kind of settle into this safe, protective cushion of sound. It allows us to not be alone with our thoughts. We don't like having to dwell in the silence of our existence. I think we like a little bit not having to face and deal with the issues that we have. And it's possible when we surround ourselves with all that noise, it shelters us, it protects us. from having to actually hear ourselves, or even worse, it protects us from actually having to hear God. Our scripture today about Elijah was actually one large, long story cut in two, because I wanted us to hear both sides of it. It starts out with Elijah. Elijah's had a little bit of trouble at work. We can all relate to that. Elijah's a prophet of God. That's his job. God has sent him to Israel because the people in Israel have turned away from God. They've started worshiping a new god named Baal. Now, the reason for this is that Ahab, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, Ahab married a woman from another kingdom, and her name was Jezebel. Jezebel had been raised as a worshiper of Baal, so when she came to the northern kingdom, she brought that religion with her. And, you know, it's one of those things where when the queen's doing it, hey, that looks interesting. So a lot of people started doing it. They started worshiping Baal. And God comes to Elijah and says, the people have turned away from me. You need to show them the error of their ways. So he goes, and what has just happened prior to the scripture we read this morning is Elijah has a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And, you know, it didn't go as well as hoped. He ended up killing all of them, you know. And that happens sometimes at work, you know. Oh, my bad. But it happens. He killed them all. So Jezebel, what we pick up in the scripture, Jezebel finds out about it. The queen, remember, the queen finds out about it. And she says, yeah, that's not okay. And she sends a message to Elijah. She says, Elijah, I'm going to do to you what you did to them. And this is the queen talking, so it's not an idle threat. So Elijah grabs his suitcase and he's out the door. Scripture says he walks for a day and finally he just collapses. And he says, Lord, just kill me now. Look, I did what you wanted me to do. You wanted me to confront the prophets. I did that. It's all done. Now I'm done. Just kill me now. But God doesn't kill him. God sends an angel. The angel provides food and water for Elijah. He eats and he drinks. Then it says he journeys for 40 days to Mount Horeb, where the presence of God dwells. Mount Horeb is a place in the Old Testament scriptures where we often see God's presence made manifest, made physical before the Israelites, before certain prophets. So that's where he goes. And while he's there, God comes to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? A couple different ways to take that question, depending on where you put the emphasis in it. He could have been asking, what are you doing here? I sent you there, and now you're here. What are you doing here, exactly? But I think he might have also been asking him more pointedly, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Elijah says, look, I did what you asked me to do. It's not going well. I'm going to be put to death. Just get me out of this. And God says, nope, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside because the presence of God is about to come by. It's kind of weird. It's like God speaking in the third person here. I kind of like to think of this as if the Holy Spirit is what's talking to Elijah inside the cave. The Holy Spirit is that small voice inside, that still small voice inside of Elijah saying, what are you doing? I sent you to do something. I gave you a calling. I gave you a purpose. You have to help the people turn back. What are you doing? Why are you hiding in a cave? But Elijah's not listening to that still small voice. The noise of his situation, he's tired, he's exasperated, he's afraid for his life. He's worried. All of that emotion is creating noise around him that is blocking that still small voice out. So the Holy Spirit says, hey, go stand on outside for a second. I want to show you something. And he goes outside, and the presence of God makes itself known. The scriptures here go on and on. It says, now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks. I've been in some pretty strong winds. I've been in windstorms so strong you could lean against the wind and not fall down. But I've never seen a windstorm break mountains. That's how powerful the wind was. But then the scriptures say God was not in the wind. Then it's followed by an earthquake. Now, I've never been in an earthquake. I've seen them, like seen videos of earthquakes when they happen. They look to be fairly noisy places, a lot of stuff falling down. So I have to imagine they're fairly noisy when they happen. But then the scripture says God wasn't in the earthquake either. And then there was a fire, right? And I've been around some pretty big fires. They can get pretty noisy as well, but God wasn't in the fire. After all this calamity and this noise and this chaos, all of a sudden, scripture says there is a sheer silence. A sheer silence. And then the scriptures say, then there came a voice to him. After the calamity of the wind and the breaking rocks and the splitting mountains and the earthquake and the fire, there's a sheer silence, and only then does that Holy Spirit come back and say, what are you doing here, Elijah? A few years ago, I actually had to go have a hearing test done. My wife really did think I was losing some of my hearing. It turns out I was just ignoring her more than I should have, which was a whole another problem the hearing doctor couldn't help me with. So I need a different doctor for that one. No, but I did. She was afraid. I have trouble sometimes in noisy restaurants or noisy venues being able to discern out voices. So I went to have a hearing test done. I don't know if you've ever had a hearing test done. It's kind of an interesting situation. You go into the doctor's office and they take you back through the maze of hallways to this tiny little room they have, really tiny little room, and it's got that thick sound insulation in the room, right? They lead you into the room, and for some reason it's always painted gray. I don't know if gray is a quieter color, right? Yellow's too loud, so it's like a gray room, these thick sound insulated walls. As soon as you step into the room, you realize it's pretty quiet in this room. There's not a lot of sound in here. And then they give you those headphones to put on, right? Those old 1970s, like I'm going to lead a plane in off the tarmac headphones, right? Just huge, clamped in my head. And that knocks out the rest. I mean, there's no sound now. There is just it's a void of sound. It is a sheer silence in that moment. It's so quiet that I swear I can hear, like my thoughts are being shouted. Right? Like I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, the sound technician's shirt really doesn't match his pants. And then I start to worry, can he hear me? Because it's really loud inside my own head. You have to sit there. It's kind of nerve-wracking. You got to wait for him to push the button. Right? They're going to push a button. It's either going to make a noise on this side or on this side or on both sides. You have to raise your hand based on which side it's on so they know that you've heard him. Right, if it's on both sides, you're like signaling a touchdown. You sit there and wait for that, and I got to tell you, it's almost physically painful because that silence is so absolute, it's so pervasive. All sound is removed, and it's just you and your thoughts rattling around. That is that sheer silence. When everything else, all other noise, is stripped away, and you're left with actual pure silence. You know, we can't get away from noise usually. The kids and I, we tried to just listen to the quiet for a while. And even in our quiet here, we could still hear a couple things. But when you strip away everything else, when it's just you, and your thoughts, in the sheer silence, it's a difficult place to be. During Lent, we did a Lectio Divina Bible study during the Sunday school hour for the 6 weeks of Lent. Lectio Divina means to dwell in the Word. What we would do is we would read a piece of Scripture, and we wouldn't discuss it or talk about context or anything else. We just read the Scripture and let it rest on its own words for a moment. Let it kind of hang. And to do that, you have to spend some time in silence. So as a group, we would read a piece of Scripture and then be quiet for 2 minutes and just kind of let the words hang out there and just see what we discovered in it. The first week we went to do this, first time we tried this, first week we had 35 people come in to try this. The second week we had 15. Now, I am completely open to the realistic possibility that it was me. But I think for some of them it was the silence. I think for some of them, they had a real hard time sitting in the silence. They weren't comfortable with it. They weren't used to it. I think it disturbs us when all sound is stripped away. Maybe that's because in that moment of silence, whether it's in the chapel or in some hearing test in some little gray room, in that moment of silence, when we strip away all the background noise from our lives, all the distracting sound that surrounds us every day, in that moment of abject, complete silence, that is when we hear God the loudest. Maybe we don't always like what we hear. Elijah sat there in his silence going, "Lord, I did what you asked me to do. I'm done." And what he heard was, "No, you're not. You got more to do. I need you to get back in there." What do you hear? When the noise has stopped, even just a little, lying in bed at night, right before sleep takes you, when your house is at its quietest and you can hear every creak and groan of the foundation, every clock ticking away the dark hours in every far room, in that moment, what do you hear? What is God calling you to do? Where is God leading you? Where is God sending you? It is so difficult, so life-changing, so revolutionary that our first instinct sometimes is to turn on some sound. Go to sleep with the music playing, or the TV on. Because in that uncomfortable silence, often what we're hearing is the voice of God. Recently, one of the groups I really like, one of the groups most of you will not really like, so don't go looking them up to listen to them, because you won't like them. But they're called Disturbed. I listen to them quite a bit. They're a loud, noisy rock band. I mean, it's just loud, driving music, and I like that. But recently, they released a cover of Simon and Garfunkel's "Sound of Silence," and if you haven't heard it, I would encourage you to look it up. It's almost haunting what it sounds like. The lead singer for Disturbed has a very gravelly, very rough voice. I mean, you know, it sounds like he rubbed a cheese grater over his throat before he sings. But he sings this song, and he sings it slowly, and there's just a single piano in the background at first. And it's just powerful and moving. The video actually went viral for it, because here's this loud rock band, and instead of being loud and raucous and over the top, they're singing this slow, melodramatic ballad. It went completely against type. We expected it to be one thing, and it was another. Maybe that's what we need in order to hear the voice of God better. Maybe we need to go against type. Maybe instead of retreating into our safe forts of noise, we need to venture more purposefully into that forest of silence. Purposely put ourselves in quiet, that we might, just might, hear the voice of God speaking to us, calling to us. So let's try it. How many of you plan to, at some point between now and next Sunday, either drive or ride in a car? Yeah, I didn't see anybody walk in this morning either, so everybody better put their hand up. Let's try this. I'm going to ask you to try something just for this week, just for 1 week. 1 week out of 52 this year, you can indulge me. When we're in that car this week, whether you're driving, whether you're riding, for just this week, let's do it in silence. Turn the radio off. Don't engage in conversation. Don't take a phone call. Don't make a phone call. Just quiet. Our cars aren't great insulators against outside noise, but they're a start. Maybe after spending a few minutes this week in the silence of our cars, then the moments right before we drift off to sleep at night will take on new power as well. Those brief moments of quiet when our minds and our bodies slow down and prepare to rest and shut off and shut out the noise of the day. Maybe, just maybe, in the midst of one of those noise vacations, when just for a second the world and its noise drift away, maybe then we might hear that voice that has been crying out to us,